Anna Webster is passionate about theater, and she explains to us, "I spent a lot of time in basements as a kid. Where I grew up, many homes were built into the side of a hill due to the lack of level ground, so they often had basements that opened up into the backyard. One such basement contained my childhood bedroom, but another, arguably one that shaped who I would become even more so, was the basement where our local community theater group rehearsed. Marianne's basement was magical, not because it was expertly decorated or even particularly lavish, but because of where it could take you. That basement quickly fell away once rehearsal started, and suddenly you were in Neverland or Narnia or interwar Austria. I started acting at age 8, and I truly believe it's what would ultimately lead me to go on to write video games. If you know me, you've likely already heard my soapbox about the similarities between theater and games." She says, "Theater has fewer degrees of separation from video games than even film or television. There are the more obvious parallels. Roles within a theater company mirror that of a dev team. There are actors, directors, lighting artists, set designers, level designers, costume workers, tech artists, and engineers. Everyone works together from their respective disciplines to tell the many facets of a story. And while you could argue that film and television do similar things, theater and games are closer kin because of the unique relationship between the two mediums and their viewers." Webster goes on, "The illusion of the first time is twofold. The audience disengages with the reality that what they're about to witness is a rehearsed production, and the actors behave as though they haven't rehearsed this exact show a billion times before. This experience is spontaneous and entirely new to the audience, actors, and characters within the story itself. In the theater world, this is helped by the wide variety of ways a show might vary from production to production or director to director. Fresh interpretations of the same story really help things feel new and potentially highlight nuances that hadn't been there previously. For example, I loved the version of Mozart's Così fan tutte performed by the Metropolitan Opera, where it was set at a motel near Coney Island in the 1950s rather than in 18th century Naples. Even within the run of a single production, actors are often constantly refreshing and reimagining their own interpretations of their characters and the story, from varying line delivery to experimenting with the emotional resonance of a particular moment or scene. This helps keep things fresh for them, keeps them honing their skills, and also helps perpetuate the illusion that this experience is new to the character. Games have a similar application of this illusion. Whether you're doing a different run or build in a roguelike or RPG or playing a remake of a classic title made decades ago, as we learn online, RPG stands for role-playing game. It refers to a genre where players take control of a character or a party of characters and advance them through a structured story in a fictional world. The genre heavily traces its roots back to traditional pen and paper tabletop games like Dungeons and Dragons. The understanding that this experience is fresh to the characters living it, regardless of how many times you, the player, may have played it previously, remains intact. With the suspension of disbelief and the illusion of the first time, the audience understands that what they are involved in has never happened before. The games industry has seen several film and television adaptations as of late, and it always seems to be a coin flip regarding the reception and faithfulness of the result. Being cousin media formats, there are many pitfalls that film and television have to navigate. For example, interactivity and potentially world-breaking mechanics are hard to convey when the audience isn't an involved party in the story that's unfolding before them. But what happens when there's an overlap of media formats that are not cousins? What happens when a game is adapted not into a flashy HBO or Amazon Prime series, but into a play? That from award-winning writer and narrative designer for video games, Anna Webster, who asks a probing question that we'll explore in a complex and compelling way. What happens when a playwright enters the world of a popular video game, blurs the boundaries between parallel stories, and takes the characters he creates and sets them loose in both worlds, where they experience powerful lessons about life and love and family that they may not have learned if they hadn't ventured to the video console, and that we would not, as audience members, likely have experienced if we hadn't ventured into the theater? It may be a bad pun, but Hamilton Gibson Productions is asking whether we're game to go on a gamesome journey as they present the play She Kills Monsters by Kui Nguyen, and that's the question we're asked by them this weekend and next at the Warehouse Theater in Wellsboro. Cody Lothinger directs, and we spoke with him yesterday before he headed off to rehearsal to learn about the play and his love for the theater.
I have been doing theater now for 22 years. I started when I was 8 years old in the best Christmas pageant ever, and that was also produced by Hamilton Gibson Productions. And after that, it's been a show or multiple shows every year. And I actually got my degree in theater and music at Lycoming College in Williamsport, Pennsylvania in 2018. And I have been just doing more and more theater every single year. And I started really delving into directing because back when I was 8 years old, it was just nothing but acting. And I started directing in 2016, which is when my college, Lycoming College, did this production that I'm now directing. And I've been directing shows ever since then.
Since you have a long-standing acquaintance with this play, then, tell us a little bit about the premise without spoiling too much and why you wanted to do it now.
Well, She Kills Monsters is about the story and the growth of two sisters, Tilly Evans and Agnes Evans. And Tilly is the younger sister. Agnes is the older sister. She, Agnes, is the one that feels trapped in her life, feels like she needs something different, and she still works now at the school that both her and her sister went to. And upon the moment of wishing for something different, she realizes that that wish came true and her sister and parents pass away in a car accident. And it's through the Dungeons and Dragons manual of Newlandia that her sister Tilly created that she's able to really understand her sister, to process her grief, and to find herself and kind of find a new understanding of what she wants out of life. And that is why I wanted to direct it now. I think it's a great slot for the Comic-Con slot that we've created over the past 3 years now for Hamilton Gibson in collaboration with Pop Culture Shop. And I also wanted to be a little bit selfish because at Lycoming College, I did not participate in this production when we did it back in 2016. Because I was at the time directing and producing my own self-written work down in the Dragon's Lair Theater, which was right underneath. And that took up a lot of my time, so I was unable to partake. But all the fun that I heard upstairs, all the excitement, seeing the costumes, the props, some of the puppets, which Lycoming College did thankfully allow us to use during this production. Not everything. We are creating a lot of new puppets, really done wonderfully by our intern, Susa Urbano. And we are incorporating so much excitement that I really feel anytime I think about the show, direct the show now, talking with the cast, it's just been a huge blast.
Let me ask you this. Have you been a game player over your life? Did you do Dungeons and Dragons?
Well, I will say that the Hobbit hole door that I used in The Hobbit, I have created into a Dungeons and Dragons door in my nerd room, is what I call it, in my house. And I do have a few friends that come over and we do play some D&D sessions, but that is fairly new within the past year and a half. I've never really gone into it myself, but I have always watched videos of other people playing it, and I was very sparked to play it and get into it. And I am so thankful that I have a core group of friends that do have some fun shenanigans with me anytime we do play it.
What about the role playing and the storytelling that is part of video games? Is it related in any way to theater? And is this play about Dungeons and Dragons in a way intercutting what it means to do theater and to do video gaming?
That's a really great question, and they're all interconnected. Anytime I talk with the actors who go on the stage, I always tell them, you are not you when you were on the stage. You are this role. And that's what role playing is in Dungeons and Dragons, in any video game setting as well, too. Board game, card game, anything that requires you to create a character and to take on a persona. And the beauty of this show is a lot of the characters that you see on the stage, whether it be Lilith or Calliope or Orcus, they all are a character. And they do have a real-world counterpart in the show as well, too. But there's differences between them. And the beauty of Dungeons and Dragons or any role-playing game is you can create something that you've always wanted to be. Something that you never thought you could be. You can always bring in different facets that you've always wanted to try in your life, and that can also build onto you as well, like what your true essence and role in life is. And that's the same for theater, is you take a little bit of each character with you. You learn something about yourself with the characters that you portray. And that's something that I really do hope with my actors as well.
You mentioned the puppets and those things that have been important in bringing the story to life. So there's some sword play like there might be in Dungeons and Dragons, that sort of thing.
There are multiple monsters. We did get some wonderful puppets from Lycoming College, like I said, but we have created, oh, one, two, three, four puppets from scratch here at the Warehouse Theater. We also have repurposed and spruced up the fun dragon puppet that we do have, without spoiling anything, that were given to us to use from Corning Community College. And there's a lot of fights happening. We have worked with the Viking business Vildenfrei, and they have given us to use during this production some swords, some awesome axes that are being seen on stage, some wonderful sashes, and they also have a great display out in the front of the theater when you come in to just have and see and get the excitement going.
We don't have to know about the premise other than it is a role-playing video game.
Correct. You don't have to know anything about the world of Dungeons and Dragons other than it's a role-playing game, it's a fantasy game, there's so much creativity that goes into it, and just be open to going on this journey with the actors and really going on a journey for yourself too, like seeing what you can discover from watching this production.
Does Tilly appear if she's had an accident and is gone? Is she still here with us?
She is still here with us. I will not tell you how she is still here with us, but you will see Tilly Evans on stage and you will see interactions between the sisters. Some very beautiful interactions that we have staged for the audience, and it's very tender and very heartwarming.
And Cody, how about music or sound effects?
Yes. So my sound designer, Noyes Lawton, he has created a lot of fun sound effects for us. There are some very popular 90s tunes that you might hear, whether it's from pop culture, TV shows, or just music that we would have heard in the 90s. But there is some really fun stuff that will catch the audience's attention right away.
And is it just one set, or does the setting change?
The setting does not fully change. You will see everything on stage as it is, but a lot of pieces will come in. And with the lighting that we have done, it transforms and you don't really think, oh, I'm looking at this whole set as a whole. Oh, I'm in this classroom setting, or I am in the underworld, or I am in this forest, let's just say. It really makes the audience see what is actually happening. But there are different places that you will see these characters go on with this journey.
As the director then, Cody, how do you keep up with and keep the momentum going as we might shift between a fantasy world and a place where there are real characters?
Well, with this production, I have created several portals that you will see on stage. The two colorful portals are going to be the entrances and exits for the fantasy world that we're in, the actual campaign that we are playing. But then there's a second portal that is strictly for coming and going through the real world. But the lighting effects that we have as well will help distinguish that. But towards the end of the show, it's going to be hard for the audience, and this is on purpose, to see what is the real world and what is fantasy. It is very much blended for Agnes, and that's part of what Agnes's journey is to decide and comprehend, am I actually talking to my sister or am I not?
You mentioned the music from the 90s. Does it matter that this story is set in the 90s? Does that part of the overall shaping of Agnes's life or Tilly's life and Dungeons and Dragons, was it more prominent in the 90s?
And Dungeons and Dragons was very prominent through many decades, but in the late 80s and going into the 90s, it was very, very strong and very prominent. It is having a stronger resurgence with shows like Stranger Things, and people are wanting to get into it more and play it more, but it has been very prominent. I also think, though, too, setting this in the 90s, where we don't have what we have today with social media and with a lot of the distractions that we have online, that wasn't as prevalent in the 90s. So this really is the way for the actors and the characters to really ground themselves.
You mentioned Comic-Con. Tell us a little bit more about the backdrop and that this play is going on at the same time.
Yes. So I am one of the members of the Artistic Planning Committee, which is a committee that gets together and we just talk about shows, different plays, different productions. And we kind of talk with the artistic director, who is Thomas Putnam, and we present ideas and kind of come up with a rough schedule of what each season would look like before it gets presented to the board of directors and before it gets approved through a budgeting process. And 2 years ago, this is the third year, I just thought, you know what? We have Comic-Con. That's a great time to do a production where we have all of these different fandoms that are coming into Wellsboro due to the wonderful work that Julian and Anya have done with Pop's Culture Shop and bringing Comic-Con to Wellsboro. And I pitched Puffed, which was a Wizarding World parody show. And we did that here in the Warehouse Theater, and then that was a success. And then we had the great success of The Hobbit last year. And each year, it just gets better and better with what we do here. But also the excitement and the collaboration that we have with Pop's Culture Shop has been great. And a lot of people, vendors and people throughout Comic-Con, have popped their heads in and have talked to us and have come in and seen the show because they're just as excited for it as well. So it's just a great collaboration across the board and another way that we can work successfully with another business here in Wellsboro.
You mentioned Thomas Putnam, and Thomas and I talked last time about the overall theme of the season, which had to do with the power of art in our lives. So this would be a perfect example of that. Is that right?
Yes, this is a perfect example because of that character creation, this self-reflection, this journey and new discoveries that characters go on. It is very much tied in and crucial to the theme of the season that we have this year.
Now, you can tell us about dates and times if you like.
Yes. So we go live and premiere this Friday at 7:30 p.m. And we will be having showings Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Sunday is at 2:30 p.m., but Saturday would also be at 7:30. And this is the week before Comic-Con, and then we have the week of Comic-Con, so then the following Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Now, there's always a chance that we can have an added performance if we keep selling out, which is always the goal, and we did that very successfully the past 2 years. So we will notify the public if that is the task that we are going to be doing. But we will be premiering this Friday at 7:30 p.m. And we do hope to see as many people as we can so we can share the joy, the beauty, and the journey that we've all gone through as a crew and as a cast.
Cody Losinger is director of the upcoming Hamilton Gibson Productions presentation of the play She Kills Monsters by Quy Nguyen that opens this Friday, July 31st at the Warehouse Theater, 3 Central Avenue in Wellsboro, PA. Friday the 31st at 7:30, and opening night will feature a public party hosted by Pop's Culture Shop. Then the shows continue Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. and Sundays at 2:30. And then you have heard Cody talk about Comic-Con the following weekend, and so the shows are the same, Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30 with Sunday matinees at 2:30. And if the shows sell out, they will let us know that they've added an extra performance. And that website, HamiltonGibson.org, HamiltonGibson.org. The play is She Kills Monsters by Quy Nguyen, and it opens this Friday, July 31st at 7:30, runs Saturday, August 1st at 7:30, Sunday the 2nd at 2:30, and then the following weekend, Friday, August 7th at 7:30, and Saturday the 8th at 7:30, and then the Sunday matinee at 2:30. And for more information, HamiltonGibson.org, HamiltonGibson.org.